Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome. This is Valerie Parker. I am your host. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. Topics from the Soul was created to be a lifeline to the community. There's so many people facing different issues in their life and going through, but, you know, we're living in a dispensation of limited possibilities. I have a co-host, Shirley Carter, who's out tonight celebrating her birthday. So those of you that join me on a regular basis, please hit her up on Facebook and let her know that you care about her and you will miss her tonight on Facebook. That's Shirley Carter on Facebook. We're going to get right into the word tonight. I am so excited. I've been thinking about it all day and been talking about it all week. We had such a delightful time last week with Dwight Pleasure, motivational speaker and author of the book The Big Lie, and Dan Smith, who's with us here tonight. He is the author of The Secret Path to Wisdom, Begin by Looking Within. He is a motivational speaker, as I said, and his book was forwarded by Vince Torin, who I hope in the near future will be able to get him to be on Hot Topics from the Soul. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you tonight?
As I said earlier, I'm excited. You know, we've been talking about forgiving for the purpose, and that's one of the things that a lot of people don't want to do, and it holds up them from becoming who they are. We were all born with a purpose and a promise by God, but it's up to us how we're going to show up in the earth. Catherine Ponder says that when you hold resentment toward another, you're bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. And so many people don't want to dissolve that link so that they can have unlimited possibilities and get free in the earth to be on the assignment that God has for them.
That's absolutely true. A lot of people hold on to it, and what it's important to understand is that we believe, rightly or wrongly, that by holding on, we gain something in our lives, that if we let go, if we forgive, we are going to lose that.
Last week, we had such a powerful talk, and you were sharing the story of your mother and your sister about forgiveness. Now, those of you who were not on the radio last night on Blog Talk, please replay that. Play that message because it was awesome. Dan, would you go into that? Because your book, it's called The Secret Path to Wisdom, but you have a chapter, Forgive and Set Yourself Free. And that's what we've been talking about the last week.
Absolutely, I will. I wrote that chapter first. Because that's what came to me first, and it came to me out of a life experience. It started with my father, and I did not get along for most of my life. In my adult life, I would call my father and ask him how he was, how his job was, and how was the weather. Awkward silence. Okay, I'll call you later. He came to visit me, and he was dying of cancer, and we had long conversations, but while we were having the conversations, it was like there was a third person there, really a third person in our presence, even though physically it was just him and I, and that third person was a younger version of me, who was there tugging at my shirt sleeves and asking me to ask him for all the answers that we'd always wanted. Why did he do these things? Why was he so mean to us? Why didn't he love us? And I would shoo away this younger version of me, and finally the younger version of me got mad. And I told him, I said, I can't do it. The man's dying. And the younger version of me just told me, well, you're just like him. We ended up going to the airport, and my father, as he was about to get on his plane, again we had this sort of awkward silence, and he turned to me after he said goodbye to my son, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, thank you for everything. I learned a lot. Hmm. And it suddenly hit me that my father didn't know everything and that he was a fallible human being just like me. and that maybe, just maybe, all those things that he had done, he had not done intentionally, that he had just simply made mistakes and that he regretted them. And right then and there, him and I just let go of that baggage that we had been holding on to, and we moved on. We embraced and we moved on. And from that moment on, he lived another 2 months. We had just these terrific conversations. 6 years later, my mother is dying of lung cancer. And my mother was a different story. She resented and was bitter toward my grandmother. My grandmother was an alcoholic, and she admits that she dropped my mother off in an orphanage. She says she did it once when she was out of money. My mother says she did it every time she met a new man and every time she wanted to go out and party. Somewhere in between is the truth. But what's important is that my mother could never, ever let go of this. When my grandmother passed, I begged my mother to come visit her, and she wouldn't do it. She said, you know, you don't understand, Danny. You don't understand what that woman did to me. And I said, Mom, she's not that woman anymore. She will always be that woman to me. Mom, she's dying. I don't care. And I said, Mom, how could you not care? It's your mother. Don't you want to come and forgive her? She said, I have no thoughts about forgiving her. You don't know what that woman did to me. And I said, you know what, Mom? You're right. All I know is that right now she's 65 pounds, she's curled up in a fetal position, and on a good day, she'll smile at you or look at you. And I know two things. One, she can't do those things to you anymore. And two, in your mind, you can't stop her from doing those things. You're still carrying them. Mm-hmm. And my mother just said, that's the way it is. So when my mother was passing, it looked for a moment like she had a really bad spell, and I flew back to New Jersey from California. And when I got there, it looked like she was doing really good. So I went and talked to her doctor, and I said, what do you think? Is she going to be able to get out of here? And he said, if she keeps improving, she will. I was so excited. I ran in and I told my mother what the doctor had said, and she looked me straight in the eye and she said, Danny, you don't get it. I'm not leaving this place. And it just hit me that she knew what was going to happen to her. And then the next thing that hit me was thinking about Granny. And I was just sitting there looking at her, standing there actually, looking at her laying in the bed, and I was thinking, what's it like? What happens when we pass? Will her and Granny get to meet again? Will they resolve all these things that have been going on for all these years? Huh, I wonder what that's like. And then I thought, it's too bad that Mom didn't forgive Granny while Granny was still alive. I was thinking that, not saying it. My mother said, Danny, that's my burden. That was my choice. And it struck me that she was carrying that burden. And later that night, I watched her pass. And I know that when she passed, that burden was lifted instantaneously as she passed. But I also know that until that second, she carried the burden with her. And wow. At that moment, I thought the burden was gone until I realized that it was actually the passing of the baton. Because just as my mother had unresolved issues with her mother, my oldest sister carries and has unresolved issues with my mother. My sister didn't make it there in time, and when she got there, she got angry at my mother. How can you do this to me? You're always doing things like this to me. I can't believe you did this to me. And it made me feel so sad that was passed on, that another generation will have to endure that. And that's the essence of what caused me to start with this chapter, is that realization that it is possible to let things go. It is possible to forgive.
Dan, in telling that story about your grandmother and your mother, how was the relationship with your grandmother and you and your sister?
But I had a decent relationship with my grandmother. When my grandmother's husband died, my grandmother went back to drinking. She had quit drinking for a while, and we had a good relationship. She went back to drinking, and her behavior became scary. She lived in an upstairs apartment. The lady who owned the building lived downstairs, and they were like sisters, really. And the lady called me up and said, "Can you help me? Your grandmother's doing things that scare me. She's lighting candles. I can't sleep at night. There's wax all over the floor from her getting drunk and knocking over these lit candles, and I'm afraid the house is going to burn down." And I said, "Have you called my mom?" And she said, "Yes, she won't do anything." And so I actually took my grandmother in at that point and brought her out to California to live with me and helped her back away from her drinking, got her out of that once again, because I could see a person in my grandmother that my mother, for my mother, it was impossible to see.
Because I know, like you said, that the baton of unforgiveness was passed from generation to generation. And so I wanted to know where you were in that equation, because you have the power of forgiveness, you know, flowing through you, where you try to restore each one of them as they left this earth. And
yes.
I was just wondering
how
you came about to do that, and what caused you to take that type of attitude with so much hatred in the air, because that's what happens with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness turns into hate, and then it's cancerous where it becomes a killer.
Right. It absolutely is. And what caused me to do that was 6 years before my mother passed, when my father did, that incident in the airport, when, as I say in my book, without explanation, without need for assigning blame, without needing to go over the details, that we just, two of us, just looked at each other and instantaneously forgave each other and turned from that spot and walked away better people, both of us. I felt that. I knew what that felt like. I knew what that freedom felt like. I knew what it was like to shake that burden off my shoulders. And I just wanted everyone in my family and beyond now, I want people to experience that freedom.
You know, Lewis Mead says, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." When I read that, I was like, wow, that is powerful. Mm. You know, we imprison ourselves and have ourselves in an emotional prison where we are held captive and unable to function in our daily life because of unforgiveness. And last week I told the story about how I was upset and angry with my aunt, my great aunt, because she said something about me while I was growing up. I was like 16 years old, and she told me I wouldn't be anything. I would be a nobody, and I was silently angry with her, but I respected her for who she was. But I held that bottled up inside. I became my own prisoner. And come to find out that she didn't even remember that she said such a thing, and then she said, "Even if I did say it, you're not that." And it was like a figure of speech. And that's the thing. A lot of times when people do something to you, they're not realizing the magnitude of the effect that it has on your life. And you imprison yourself. You have walls up and won't allow anyone in or out of your life because you've locked yourself up in a vault filled with secrets that have you in chains.
You know, I'm reading just recently read a book called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom by Nancy DeMoss. And in the intro, I read the most interesting analogy for not forgiving. In the intro, it said, "Not forgiving is the equivalent of attempting to hold a fully inflated beach ball underwater. Any wrong move and suddenly it erupts to the surface." And I would add to that, when you think about being in water and trying to hold a beach ball underwater, it takes all of your focus, it takes all of your energy, and it absolutely keeps you from moving beyond that spot. You can't do anything else.
That is powerful. Now, who was that author of that?
Her name is Nancy Lee DeMoss, D-E-M-O-S-S.
One of the things I liked about... Go ahead.
I was gonna, her forgiveness approach, it is a Christian-based approach, and I know that there are some people that embrace that, and there are some people who don't quite embrace the Christian approach to forgiveness.
One of the things I like about your book, The Secret Path to Wisdom, Begin by Looking Within, is that you have it as in a book, you tell a story, and then you have, like, workout pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you come about doing that? What made you do the book in that manner?
Okay. Well, I will say that I started with forgiveness, and forgiveness, I want you to listen to this. Forgiveness is easy until it's personal. It's very easy for us to tell other people they should forgive. But when it becomes our turn, it becomes difficult. So I wrote that chapter first. And I thought, well, how do I make this personal? And the way I came up with was to have journaling questions. And not only on that chapter, but throughout the book. And in fact, the approach I have to my book is that when you finish reading it and finish doing the work, it becomes our book. I even have a second title, a cover page in there where you can put your name as a co-author, because you truly are a co-author. It is not about me. I am just putting my story out there as a way of triggering your story, of getting you to explore your story, to view your options in life. And through a few guided questions, I have people explore that. And if they do the work, it is transformative. It really is.
So for those that are listening on the call and are saying, because I have them on listening on the call and online, and they're saying, you know, you keep talking about forgive, you keep talking about, you know, moving on so that you won't get stuck. What are some of the processes? Because it's going to be different for everybody, because everyone has a different level of self-inflicted torment that they're going through as a result of the unforgiveness. So it's going to be different for everyone. What would you say is a process step in moving forward to forgive? Because one of the things that I often say is that the hardest thing for everybody that has held up unforgiveness against someone is the fact that they get mad at themselves for all the time they wasted, such as if a loved one passes away, like it did in your case, or if someone moves on and has a better and seems to be having a better life without you. You beat yourself up for all that time. I beat myself up for years because all the time I spent in that abusive marriage, I felt that I should have gotten out a lot sooner. But you can't when you're in the midst of it. The timing isn't right. And I came to that resolve of that because I said, you know, I wasn't ready yet, because a lot of times people step out of situations prematurely and they miss the lesson and go back. So what is something that you would say that they need to do in as a process?
I think one thing is that you need to be ready. And sometimes we're too close to something to forgive. And we can say we forgive, but we truly haven't. And it's really a process that we have to put a lot of energy into. So before we even start that, we have to be committed to the forgiveness process. And in that same book that I talked about earlier, Choosing Forgiveness, there was a quote that jumped out at the page at me, slapped me on the face, and just jumped back into the book. And what it said was, what if when we meet God, we find that God is only willing to forgive us to the extent that we have forgiven?
Wow.
And, yeah, that's what it
is. We'd be in trouble.
I thought, right, and that's what I thought about. And I thought, wait a minute. I have been taught my whole life that I will be forgiven. And that I realized, why was I taught that I would be forgiven? Because I will need to be forgiven. I was given free will. I was given the ability to make choices. And you know, I've made a lot of good choices and I've made a lot of bad choices. So I thoroughly embraced the whole concept when my father died of forgiving and leaving this life without the bitterness, without the resentment, without all of the anger or whatever it was that was interfering with my life. I recognized that I did not become who I was intended to be in large part because I was preoccupied with all of these things that were negative. While my mind is thinking about bitterness and resentment and anger, it cannot think about anything else. I cannot focus on my dream. I get focused and I'm anchored to that spot. And then I get angry, and I got angry at myself. So the first thing I had to do, and the first question that I ask in the book is, not forgiving has limited my life by, and allow people to write that out and thoroughly write that out and say, okay, now I know I have a reason to forgive. I don't want these things in my life. And challenge yourself and say, without forgiving, is there any way you can get rid of those things in your life? Can you come up with an alternative? Is there a plan B? Is there another way to do that? And then for me, step two was to understand what forgiveness is. I was always told forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm. Bygones.
Right. I found it for me, and I have to say this is for me, because one of the things that I did in preparation for this, I Googled steps to forgiveness and got 4,040,000 responses. And there's everything from 3 steps to 14 steps. There's all sorts of, and what I would say is that what works for me may not work necessarily for you. And in fact, I have found what works for me would work with my father didn't work the same way with my mother. I had to approach it a little bit differently. But once I realized for me that forgiving is not forgetting, I still remember every single thing my father ever did to me. I just remember it differently. And it's there. It's part of who I am. What I endured, what he caused me to endure, is part of the character of me. It is the essence of how I make decisions. It is part of my belief system. It is part of everything. It guides me through life. But now that I have forgiven, I can look at it objectively. And what I got from that in remembering the things that my father did is the next thing I did was I empathized with him. I put myself to the best of my ability to do so in his shoes. And I thought about what would it take, you know, and I started looking at old pictures of me and my father. And, you know, when I was an infant, they're the classic family pictures. I mean, him sleeping with me on his chest, him holding me, him bouncing me. And then something changed. And I started, you know, kind of overlaying what I knew about his life and about periods in time when he lost his job, when alcohol came into play, and when he lost another job and financial struggles, and his father got killed in a car accident, my grandfather.
Wow.
And I started looking at all of these things and objectively, and I said, these are things that impacted his life. They're not excuses. They're just things that impacted his life. And to the extent that they impacted his life, what I got from that is that similar things could impact my life and can cause me to do things that are that I need to be forgiven for. And I realized the humanness, and I separated the actions from the person who had done them. And I still, I don't like, I have all sorts of, I could actually say I hate some of the things that he has done to me, but I don't hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that life put him in a position of doing these things, but then I have to let that go too. I can't blame life. I gotta forgive it. So I can look at it, and then like I said, I realized that to the extent that he was fallible, I am fallible. To the extent that he did things, the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that mm-hmm. he was my role model, and that unless something happened, unless I forgave him and was able to look at these things and see the warning signs and question my behavior and stop myself when I needed to stop myself and make amends when I needed to make amends and apologize or whatever I needed to do, unless I could look at things objectively, I would simply repeat the behavior because I would have no other option. My bitterness, anger, and resentment would blind me from any form of objectivity and would turn me into a person whom I do not wish to be.
In my second book, I wrote Unveiling Secrets from the Heart. It says the subtitle is Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And I wrote that part of it as a subtitle because, as I said, we have ourselves in prison. And the prelude in the Soul of a Woman collection of that book, it says that our lives are governed by secrets, hidden treasures that do not have a color. It is not a white or black thing. It does not matter if you are short, tall, skinny, fat, ugly, or beautiful. They are simply experiences we have archived in our mind that control us emotionally. Sometimes we spend our entire lives locked in an emotional cage because we have buried secrets. As long as we live and breathe, we will experience pain, disappointment, and embarrassment, suppressing only the things we have not forgotten. These experiences are called secrets. When I wrote that, Dan, I was like really going through a phase, an experience at that time, because I had gotten out of the domestic abuse situation that I was in. I was married 19 years to my husband. 17 of those were domestic abuse. And people would not let me forget that I stayed in there that long. Mm-hmm. Not only did I go through that with my husband, but in my youth, I went through some horrific things that shadowed me internally. And when I got married, I shared some of those things with my husband, and he kept using them as a weapon against me throughout the marriage to make that was part of tearing me up from the inside out. So that's why I do what I do, because that pain, that hurt, that disappointment, I've been there. Although, you know, I don't know the pain that some people are enduring or going through, trust me on this. If you don't let it go and start loving, like I said, if you got to love. That's why I wrote From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. It's all about love. We've got to let that be the priority in our lives, to love. To love is to forgive. And as I said earlier in the quote, once you forgive, you'll discover that the prisoner that you're letting out of that cage is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So many are going through situations and circumstances in their lives, from molestation to rape, the incest, the abuse, the drug addiction, you name it. People are ripped up from the inside out, but you can be restored today. You can be whole today. Don't allow any more time to pass where that person has power and authority over your life.
Wow, those are very powerful words. You know, our lives are governed by secrets, and it's so true. And you were talking about rape. I was doing a call like this, and at the end it was opened up to the audience, and a young woman came on, and she said she was violently raped, and it left her scarred and emotionally scarred. And she said, how can I possibly forgive? And I sat there for a minute, and I was feeling for her, and I simply asked her, I said, when was the last time you saw this person? She said, it's been well over 20 years. I said, when was the last time you felt the pain that this person inflicted? She said, I'm feeling it now.
Wow.
I said, years are not going to let it take it away from you. You've already proven that. Because you are still being impacted by this. And remember, the forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. It's for you. Forgive this person. Free yourself from this person that you have not seen in over 20 years who was controlling you. And she was crying when she was asking the question. And then the crying changed. It was a different kind of crying. And after she composed herself, she said, I feel different. I can see that I can do this, and I'm happy. I'm crying now because I can see there's a way out. And it's for things like that. It's the only way out. There's as I said before. What is your plan B? What has worked for you in the past? If you've been carrying this around for all of these years, you know, hoping that one day you'd make a sharp turn and it would keep going straight and you'd never see it again, it didn't work. It's still right there. It's next to you. And the only way to let it go is through forgiveness. And it's an act of, you said to love is to forgive.
Right.
To forgive is to express love for yourself.
Wow. That is powerful. I told you I was looking forward to this call, and simply because that I know that it can help a lot of people that are in prison emotionally and physically right now. And that's what our mission in Hot Topics from the Soul is all about, being a lifeline to the community where people that wouldn't ordinarily be able to talk or hear or say anything would be able to do so. And, those that are listening on the radio, if you want to email me at soultopics@gmail.com, that's soultopics@gmail.com, or if you want to leave a comment in the box of those that are online, you can leave a comment and we can do that. And we're going to open up the line shortly after Dan finished sharing some more because, you know, this is good stuff tonight. Today, your tomorrow will begin today. Why? Because you've discovered that there's a greater you that's inside and that you don't want to allow anyone to hold you hostage any longer. Today, you're going to take your power back. Today, you're going to take your life back and you're going to move forward in the greatness that God created you. I don't care what you've been through. I've been through some things that are unspeakable. I could only write about it. But I'm telling you that God is a restorer, and he will do everything he promised and so much more. The life that I'm living now, I had no idea I'd be doing what I'm doing. But he kept his word, and he takes you from glory to glory. But you have to do something with your life. You have to make that first step of getting up and moving forward. And I promise you, your life will never, ever be the same again. Am I right about that, Dan?
You're absolutely right. And what you said is you have to take action. And there are people listening to this now, or will be listening to it on the archives later, that at this moment they're feeling something inside, and they can't, maybe not necessarily identify what that is, but what that is it's their soul expressing its need for them to take action and to keep moving with this. And right now, if you're feeling that feeling, if after this call you push it back, you are dishonoring yourself. You are an act of unlove to yourself. It is there for a reason. It's there to tell you that you need to take action on this. And however you do it, I would say there is, you know, you were asking about how to do it. I can only tell my way of doing it. There, you know, the internet is available to us. Public libraries are available to us. There are people, you know, through your those of you who have religious beliefs, through your church, there are people that will help you. There are groups for people who have been through what we have been through. You know, as a child, I was sexually molested, and I kept that a secret for 45 years because I thought I was the only one that this happened to. And even when I heard it happened to other people, I just could not believe that it happened to very many people at all. And I released that about 2 years ago. And in the last 2 years, I have met, and I'm not exaggerating, I have met or talked to hundreds of people, and especially men who have been in that situation. And it allowed me to put it out there, and it actually allowed me to get to the point where I have forgiven the person, because I understand that this person was, I don't know what they were going through, but I have just forgiven them. Now, does that mean that if I heard, and I have no idea if this person's still alive, but if I heard that they were, that this person was still behaving in that manner, would I hesitate to go into a courtroom and testify? Absolutely not, because that action needs to be stopped. And it just as that action needs to be stopped from being perpetuated to other young men, I need to stop him, who I haven't seen in over 40 years, from perpetuating that same act on me inside of my mind, for reminding me every time I start to do something that I have this horrible scar, and believing that no one in the world wanted to see that scar, and the resentment and the anger. And once I released him, and I found out, I released me, just as you said earlier, that I was the prisoner. I have no idea where this person is. He's maybe off enjoying life. He may have found, faith, and he may have turned his life around. He may not know where I am. He may be looking for me to make amends or apologize. I don't know, and it doesn't matter, because I've forgiven him. And some people are amazed. How can you forgive someone who did something so horrible? And I said, because it's too heavy to carry anymore. I've carried it too long. I have to put it down. I'm too tired. I can't live my life and carry this weight at the same time. It's not possible. So I choose to put down the weight so I can live my life.
It's about forgiving for the purpose. Our purpose is always so much greater and bigger than who we are right now. Dan, I know that you didn't think in a million years that you'd be speaking and motivating and encouraging people after the devastations that you suffered. And you know, like you said, 40 years later, here you are standing strong and being a witness, being a testimony. You got to forgive for the purpose, and that purpose is your promise that God gave you in the very beginning. You've got to stay focused. It's not about you. You know, that's what the enemy does. You know, that inner me, that inner critic, the slew foot, the devil, the, you know, that Goliath that's trying to rip you up from the inside out. That's what he wants to do. He wants to stop you from being the great person that you were designed to be in the first place. Those people that afflicted you and came up against you, they saw that greatness in you and they tried to destroy it. But the strong does survive. Dan, how can people reach you and how can they get your book and email you and communicate with you?
Okay. You can email me at dan@forevertold.com. That's FOVERTOLD.com. You can get my book at hearttalkpublications.com. And you can also see our seminars that we are holding at thepowerofstoryworkshop.com. And I apologize for that name being kind of long, but a lot of people out there think they're storytellers, and they've got all those domains, but it is thepowerofstoryworkshop.com. And I wanted to add to what you said, what you were just saying. One of the things that I realized that when I forgave about this issue was the molestation, I realized that I had a gift that was given to me from God. And I honestly say that with absolute conviction. It was a gift. It was a horrible experience, but it was a gift because once I forgave, I was able to start sharing that gift. And as I shared that gift, I have had men, grown men, you know, muscular, tattooed, come up to me bawling and crying and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Their wives with them, and their wives looked at me and said, I knew there was something. I didn't know what it was. While you were talking, he turned to me and said, that happened to me too. And it freed him. And so if we hold that resentment and that bitterness, that it prohibits us and keeps us from using our gift for the greater good.
That is absolutely correct. I'm going to open up the lines because I know you have to leave a little early. So those that have any questions or comments, if you just press 1, I can see you and allow you to come in if you have any questions or comments. And like I said, Hot Topics from the Soul is a safe place. You don't have to say your name or who you are, whatever. You can just simply say what it is that's on your heart, and we will try to address that. The person that's last digits is 0719.
Hello, how are you? Valerie?
Yes.
Dan, how y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. This is Dave Ajirin. Wonderful call, wonderful information, especially
Thank you,
about
Dave.
Forgiveness. Yes, I have a question, but first I'll just put in a comment there. Because I went through similar things. But what I decided to, what I believe is a revelation from God I got, to forgive, you know, is interesting. For, I looked at it as forever. And, of course, give, we all know about giving. So mm-hmm. To forgive is to forever give. And if we mm-hmm. always continue giving, then guess what? We are always gonna get. And I always found myself going through crazy things in my life. So my advice or suggestion is that anybody who's on the phone looking for a way to get to that next level in their life, they're having setbacks, just remember that you have to fully forgive because you're actually giving of yourself, and then you're gonna get, because it's right there in the good book that as we give, we will get more than we can ever carry. So I just wanted to share that. My question for you, Dan, was how do you, because you mentioned speaking to groups and all, so how do you actually market to groups? How do you market yourself to groups whereby they're willing to have you come out, speak to them? In other words, how do you get your message out for people to want to contact you to speak? Do you advertise? Do you, yeah, how do you do that?
Well, part of doing that is right now on this call and releasing it out there. And I will tell you that I definitely have a few. One of my weaknesses is marketing. And part of the reason that I have a weakness in marketing is my inability to forgive manifested itself in my life as shame. And shame caused low self-esteem. And I struggle to this day. I'll be 57 years old 2 weeks from today, and I still struggle with what is my true value. And when I say that, the people that are listening to me are saying, are you kidding me? It's obvious what your value is, and the reason that I struggle with it is I'm still dealing with all of this. So I am on Facebook, and I am currently taking seminars and figuring out how to put myself out there, and I'm soliciting the help of friends. That's the other thing that's new to me. I was a do-it-myself kind of person, also based in the shame. You really, it's one of those things, if you knew me, you wouldn't like me kind of thoughts inside. And so now I am getting to the point of soliciting help from people, and if you can help me, I will gladly accept any help you have.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, and you have some really good information to share. Your story is very compelling, so hopefully God will assist you. Hopefully you are putting it up to him, too, because, you know, I believe in letting go and letting God, so hopefully you're putting it to God for wisdom and knowledge, and I guarantee you, you'll come up with incredible avenues to market yourself, because your message is very powerful.
Thank you, and that's an excellent point, and you're absolutely right. I have released it to God, and I have said that, you know, I am your child, I am your vessel, use me at your desire.
Dave, I want to thank you so much for, you know, being on the call and being open to share. And one of the things that I say to you, you know, to be able to talk about that is because when you truly forgive and you walk and operate in a place of compassion, then people will want to hear what you have to say. And that was one of the things that I had a hard time dealing with, is I didn't think anybody would want to hear what I had to say as far as abuse or molestation or homelessness or anything like that. So hold the line for me, Dave. I want Dan to have some closing remarks because he has to go and do another call. So, Dan, you have any final remarks?
I apologize for having to leave, but Dwight Pledger and I do a call on the second and fourth Thursday on the power of story and how to use your story and how story is all throughout our life. If you think about it, even when you go into a courtroom, it's the prosecution story versus the defense story, and then the jury gets to decide which story the facts support. So I have to do that call now, and I'm going to head to that. But I want to thank you, Val, for having me on this and for what you do. And I want the audience that's listening to, if you've got value from this, I want you to tell your friends to tune into this call, because this is the sixth time that Val has done this, and you see where the quality is already. This is going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to build, and it is, the message needs to be put out there. We are all hurting in some way. We have all isolated ourselves in some way. We are all in hiding somewhere, and it is the voice that comes through the computer on Blog Talk Radio or through the phone, if that's how you're listening, or a friend's voice that said, I heard this wonderful program the other day. There's this terrific person that does, Val does this wonderful program, and every time she's on, she addresses a topic of relevance. You need to listen to her. Help your friends, help yourself, and help our world, and help build the world that God wants us to live in.
Dan, that was so sweet. Thank you so much for sharing and doing that for me. And, you know, your willingness to be open and transparent and to serve, because this is what we are. Like I said, our lives are never about us. It's about what God wants to do through us and to make that connection on the earth. When the Lord came down, he came down to serve, to help those that are lost. And there's so many that are still stumbling around in the dark, and that's what it's all about to me. So thank you so much. And those of you that are listening, Dan has to go, but thank you so much, Dan. But I want you all to go visit his website, visit Facebook, and purchase that book, The Secret Path to Wisdom. Begin by looking within. And that chapter that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, Forgive and Set Yourself Free. The wonderful thing about this, as I said, is this is a platform where you can listen and get information and even comment. And you can email Dan. You can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. And I can get that information to Dan if you want to talk further. Because, you know, one of the things I said is people don't have an outlet. We have so many people taking their lives for this very reason, because they feel so isolated and so alone. But you're not alone. Don't be isolated. You are not alone. We love you, and this is why we do what we do. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, and I have to run. I have to call. Anyone who's interested in listening to our call, the number is 619-350-2161, and the code is 2468#. Thank you very much.
And that starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock Eastern time. It starts in approximately 8 minutes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dan.
Bye.
Bye. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, yes. I'm sorry about that, but I needed to address Dan because he's done such a powerful work, and I really wanted to thank him for doing and being who he is. And thank you as well for, as I said, for sharing and, you know, being bold enough to ask questions and to give comments on how to get to the next level, because if we don't ask somebody, we won't know what to do next.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. And, I mean, it's really, and I commend you too, you know, like I said, for even bringing up this topic, because it's definitely a topic that is not addressed too often. You watch TV and you listen to the radio, and people don't talk about that. You know, people are so used to blaming somebody for the problems, and, you know, just blaming. We all want to blame. We all want to point the finger, not having a clue that when we point that finger, you know, we have three fingers pointing right back at us. And myself, I had a lot of setbacks. It's interesting, I could relate to Dan, because I certainly didn't get along with my dad growing up. It was a very hard relationship growing up with him. And when I, you know, became a man and I was able to leave him, there was that resentment for a while, like a lot of resentment. But it's interesting, because I had no idea until later. I believe it was God that revealed it to me. I had no idea that all that resentment was causing me to have friction in all my relationships, business relationships, personal relationships. You understand? So, yeah, I resented him. But at the same time, that resentment was causing me to fail in everything I did. So when God finally revealed that to me through books, you know, go reading books, I always search for meaning, reading books always helps. Going to seminars, listening to CDs, and the revelation came to me, and I realized that you have to let go and you have to let God. And once I made that decision to do that and forgave my dad, and was able to let it go and realize that, you know, if I was in his shoes, I probably would have done the exact same thing. Because when I questioned my dad, I finally was bold enough to question and say, why? Why did you have to treat me the way you did when I was younger? And it's interesting, his answer to me, in other words, he felt validated. He felt like, look, this is the reason why. So it wasn't like, oh, I was confused, I didn't know why. He knew why he did it. So to him, that excuse or that reason, well, that reason was good enough to him, you know. So it's interesting, you know, because that's, you know, sometimes we just have to look at where we are and realize that we have to see things from the other person's point of view. Because you know, I read this book, and it said that a cobra, you know, the snake cobra, a cobra, that a cobra, you know, if you, the reason why we're not cobras is because our parents are not cobras. If our parents were cobras, we'll be cobras too, and we'll want to kill and hurt people and the whole nine. So it's, you know, so at the end of the day, we always have to look at things from other people's view. Once I started looking at things from my dad's view, not only did it help me forgive him, but most importantly, it helped me forgive myself.
Absolutely.
When I forgave myself, my relationship started becoming so much more fruitful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Patterson says that sincere forgiveness isn't colored with expectations that the other person apologize or change. Don't worry whether or not they finally understand you. Love them and release them. Life feeds back truth to people in its own way and time. And that's what it's all about. You have to be able to release in order to move on to the next level. We've been talking about forgiving for the purpose. I'm your host, Valerie Parker, and this is Hot Topics from the Soul. I invite you to visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. I have my retreat coming up in August. It will be the second week in August, so please visit the website. Keep checking in. We will have the information posted. It is open to men and women, and I tell you, it is a powerful thing. Last year, I had more men at the retreat than I did women, and Soul Retreat is a safe place. We have a lot of fun. We have networking. The next day we have workshops, and then we close out with a 70s party where we go back in the day. That was one of the things I loved, was back in the old time. Didn't have all the responsibilities I had now, so it was a place of peace. So that's why I close out the retreat with a 70s party, and it's always a blast. So visit the website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. I have early registration that will be $99 for the 2 days, and it will be in Orlando, Florida. So keep watch on that. And my website, my new website, will be up shortly as well. So you'll get a chance to see all the new things that's going on with the Soul of a Woman. And I'm also on live radio on Tuesday nights in Miami, Gospel Reggae 95.9, and that is also on the Soul of a Woman website. I thank you all so much for joining, and I invite you to join me again next week, 8 o'clock. We have Dr. Vanessa Danzer Usury that will be with us, and she'll be talking about My Beatitude. It's a book, and she has some powerful things to share. In the following week, I have Bishop Carlos Malone, who is the author of The Rib Connection. Now, those of you that are going through situations in your home, in your family, in your relationships, you don't want to miss that show. He is a powerful individual. So stay tuned to Hot Topics from the Soul with Valerie Parker. You all have a powerful week, and be safe. And remember, forgive for the purpose. It is a promise from God. Good night.
Good night.